Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the...
I'm always thinking about Mike P.
Yeah. Hello, Bill.
Philip, how are we doing tonight, buddy?
Good. How are you?
You know, I want to say I was real pleased with last week's show. We had the Abate people on. We were going to make it Abate half hour. It went in for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
We had callers from, help me with here, callers from, of course, California, but New Jersey, Massachusetts, was it Texas? Who was some,
Chicago.
Chicago, thank you. Yeah. So we had people interested, and what we're going to try to do is every other week, we're going to try to make this a little bait issue. We want people across America to share information what's going on in your state. So I just want to touch base on that, and please tune in every other week for that, and tune in the other weeks because we're going to be talking about stuff, just important stuff. Now, I realize that I'm going to make a statement in a second. I don't want you to think I'm losing my marbles. I realize this is still April, and I realize May is not quite here, but Philip and I are both veterans, and May is an important month to us. Since 1950, the United States observed Armed Forces Day the third Saturday in May. This year, May 16th. We're going to be recognized in the United States military branches and all those that served in them. I know we look out for the veterans year-round, and we need to look out for the veterans year-round, but May Day, May 16th. Find out what in your neighborhood is doing something. I truly believe that get more involved. Now, right after May 16th, coming up is May 25th. I got a little problem with this here, but I'm going to try to get off my chest. It is the National Auxiliary Poppy Day, Resolution Number 3, passed by the NEC in 2014. And we want people to promote and distribute poppies for the poppy program. Now, the American Legion Riders, American Legion Poppies, are an important fundraiser towards their sheer mission of helping veterans and their families. American Legion gives all that it can back to the veterans. Every event they have, their program is the veterans. So I'm going to ask everybody tonight.
Well, you know, Bill, that they have got...
Go ahead, because I'm pausing for a second here.
At Biggs, you're going to have the May Ride.
Oh, that's a fantastic party.
And have the Simplify Fun same day. And then there's a couple more. I think we talked about something about a car show and bike show.
Not sure. They're going to call back in about a half an hour. Good friends of ours, you and my. We'll talk about that. But I mentioned just briefly about the National Auxiliary Poppy Day. Now, we're going to have American Legion people out everywhere selling poppies. I think, well, no, they don't sell them. They give them away and they ask for a dollar donation. It's semantics. I am going to ask everybody listening to me tonight, if you buy a poppy, take a look and ask them where the poppy came from. If it says made in China, what should we do?
Don't buy it.
Thank you very much. If it says made in the USA,
buy it.
Thank you. I couldn't be more
clear.
Just
like we say,
that.
Support the mom and pop shops because that's what keeps the country going.
There are so many people selling poppies not made in America. This is now I realize international trade is important. This is a veterans thing. We get veterans making the poppies. Veterans in America, we're selling them to Americans. If it does not say made in America, ask the veteran where it came from. If he says Indonesia or China or God knows where else, say no thank you.
That's correct.
And walk away from that gentleman, that lady. Now, I'm a member of the American Legion. Philip, you're a member of the American Legion also with that.
Yep.
Philip and I are very pro-American Legion, but we cannot stand for programs coming on and people selling non-American products. Come on, folks. Work with me on this, okay? So, Poppy Day coming up. Philip is telling you that there is going to be veteran programs in every single state, everywhere. We want you people to get involved. Now, I want to talk about one political thing because we have people coming in there. Philip, we have the country of Cuba, or as they say, Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
That's sadder than a white guy trying to speak Spanish, I know. Should we recognize communist Cuba? Well, if we recognize them, they're still going to be communist.
That's correct.
If we don't recognize them, then the embargo, and I don't know what year it was, 1963. I think I have some information in front of me. I don't, but it doesn't matter.
Well, you know, Bill, perhaps one of the most important accomplishments of my administration is in minding my own business. You know, who said that?
Wilson?
Calvin Coolidge.
Coolidge, yeah. See, people think I always got the answers right in front of me. I don't have all the answers. Sometimes he asks questions off the wall to trip me up. He trips me up all the time. So now, for a long time, our government has tried to diminish and weaken Cuba economically to destabilize the Castro regime. I don't remember how many times it said we tried to kill Castro. 50 times, maybe, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not very good at killing people, obviously. That's not one of our strong points. However, sanctions simply have not worked. While some argue that ending the embargo will be victory for the Castro family, we all know Fidel is at his deathbed, and his brother, Raul, has taken over. The commercial and economic engagement is the key to promoting peace within the global community in the 21st century. Now, I want us to reunite with Cuba. I want normalization of relationships with Cuba. It'll help the U.S. economy and promote peace. However, Cuba is a dictatorship. It fails to represent human rights and remains a threat to our national security. We already have an embargo on them. They want us to lift the embargo. They want us to get involved with them. They got to say goodbye to communism.
Mm-hmm.
Russia said goodbye to it. Russia's doing good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're invading Ukraine right now.
Yeah. They say that China is not a communist anymore. China is only a half communist. They're making so much money over there. So I want everybody to think about these issues about Cuba coming up because I don't want us to make concessions to allow this country, this communist country, and one of the basic tenets of all communism is the control and abolish of all religions. Philip and I are both Irish Catholic lads. The Pope is coming to Cuba. I think it's a good idea. I think any time any religious leader will make an attempt to reach out, I am for the Pope going to Cuba. In fact, Philip, if you're not doing nothing, let's ask the Pope right now to invite us to go to Cuba with him, okay?
Yeah.
You time off for that?
Ain't gonna happen.
Okay, now, any cardinal, any priest out there listening to me tonight, contact the local cardinal or bishop. Have him contact the guy in Rome, okay? Philip and I want to go to Cuba with the Pope and help if we can. So we are positive about that. But Cuba's spy network is, at one point, penetrated the highest levels of the defense intelligence agencies. To believe that the Cuban regime will change is naive. I'm not talking about the tortures and all that, because certainly America's tortured people, too. I'm not talking about psychology torturing. I'm talking about if Cuba wants our aid, if Cuba needs to, and they desperately need to embrace us. Now that Russia won't really help them and China can't help them, China's got enough problems on their own, we need to be there to offer Cuba a hand up, not
a
handout. Thank you very much on that, Phil, right there. So, I don't want this to be cut and dry and boring, which sometimes my issues are, but they mean a lot to me. I would like one day for Philip and I to take our motorcycles to Cuba. I would like one day for us to be able to ride. It's 350 miles long, I think 75 miles wide, And please, I've not looked it up. This is coming.
They're going back in time.
Having a lot of toys.
It would be.
Yeah,
it would be something.
Going back in time.
Yeah. So anybody wants to comment about Cuba? Most people don't even care about it. I just want to talk about it. Now, I talked about me being take care of our veterans. I contacted, well, Philip and I are both American Legion writers, and I got some information from the American Legion magazine to come out. And I want to talk about this just briefly because it irritates me.
Well, you know what irritates you, Bill?
A lot of things irritate me, Philip. You know that.
I'll answer the question.
Oh, shit.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You know, when I see that, I've seen it a couple times, as you have, my opinions change. I respect him for the fact he is on that island. I respect the fact that he's got thousands of Russian-trained soldiers facing him. I mean, what he did was wrong, but you know what? I think he did to make tougher soldiers.
I eat breakfast 300 yards from 4,000 Cubans who are trained to kill me, so don't think for one second that you can come down here, flash a badge, and make me nervous.
That son of a bitch, nothing can make that boy nervous. I was nervous listening to him. He scared the hell out of me. So, he bent the rules. He broke the rules. All right. What did he do? Why did he do it? Why do you think he did it, Phil?
Not sure, Bill.
I'll answer the question.
Well, you answer the question.
You want answers?
I want answers.
I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want answers. Did I miss that last line?
Mm-hmm.
What did I miss it?
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Okay, now that man was just sick. There's nothing wrong with that guy. You remember that movie? What was his major concern? Was the surf breaking to the left?
Okay, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, even though I'm one day early in May, I want to talk about the wars. I don't mean to depress everybody again, but damn it, I'm depressed. Everybody else should know what my problem in my mind is. We had World War I, World War II. Technically, I don't think there has been any more wars. There are military actions. They're called police actions. They're called, they're not even called wars anymore. I thought the president had to suggest and Congress had to approve, but I want to tell you for a moment or two, and I hope I don't put too many people asleep. Let's go start the Revolutionary War. 1775 to 1783, United States military deaths, 4,435. U.S. wounded, 6,188. The cost for that war, the Revolutionary War, 1975-1983, was $101 million in 1970s dollars.
That's the part you didn't finish last.
Boy, that's just not crazy stuff, too. All right, we're going to skip the Revolutionary War. I'm going to move on to the Barbary Wars, 1801, 1805, and flip back again in 1815. Not a bad war for us. Only 35 people killed, 46 wounded. Yeah. See, in 1995, we paid $1 million to ransom our sailors. President Jefferson said, it'd be easier to raise ships and men to fight these pirates than money to pay them. So we went after the pirates. Now, we talked about the Revolutionary War. I'm going to go back now to the War of 1812, 1815. Here it is, the British Empire coming back to America 30 years later. We've got a little attitude problem. United States military deaths, 2,260. 4,505 were wounded. It cost $90 million. This is 1812 to 1815.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we get over that war. So now we jumped up 1813 to 1938, and I'm going to include 1866 to 1890, the Indian Wars in America. 1,000 people were killed. We have no idea how many people were wounded. They say 4,000 Cherokees died in that Walk of Tears. We have no idea if the number could have been up as high as 10,000 Indians died in those wars.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know for sure. Mexican War. Okay, why did we fight the Indian War? I'm sorry. Let me think. Oh, yeah, we wanted more land. Oh, you wanted the Indians to go. All right. The Mexican War. 1846, 1848. 13,283 deaths. Cost $71 million. We're doing better now. We're getting down to the prices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do we fight the Mexican War? President James Polk sent Zachary Taylor to a disputed area between the Rio Grande, where the United States defined a border. It didn't match the Mexican paperwork. So we went to war with Mexico so we could get more land. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's the law, folks, you know. We declared war against Mexico in May of 1846 after only a few hours of debate. It was a slam dunk thing. We need land. Mexico's going to eat it. Civil War, 1861, 1865. 364,511 people dead. The Union. The Confederate lost 133,821. They had less people. The cost for that battle, that war, $3.18 billion. Why we fight the Civil War? One of the best argued issues in school. I think most people will agree it really was over states' rights. That was the bottom dollar, and slavery and everything else was just secondary. Okay, Spanish-American War.
Hold on a minute, Bill.
Go ahead.
This is 845. I think it's coming out of New York, Bill.
It's Larry, Bill.
Hello?
Yeah, it's Larry, Bill.
Hey.
It's a Marine bike guy.
How are we doing, stranger?
Hey, I'm doing really good. We're doing 95 down 95. But keep on going. This is interesting. I want to hear what Spanish-American War. Keep going, guy.
Brother, I did some research on this because it just irritated me about these wars. War, 1898, 2,446 killed, $283 million we spent. Now, why did we attack Spain? Well, the Spanish people crushed Cuba's independence. We decided that we were going to go to Cuba. Now, we had a sinking of the ship called the USS Maine, of which, when it sank, America immediately declared war on Spain. It has been proven without a doubt that Spain did not attack the USS Maine. It was a powder explosion or something within the ship. There was no justification, but we kicked Spain's ass, and we took over Cuba, and we moved into the Philippines, Puerto Rico, and Guam. It's the way life is, boys and girls. America, we press our muscles. Philippines, 1899, 1901. 4,200 Americans lost their lives. We don't know for sure about the money. For some reason, they kept it a secret. Now, the post-war occupation of the Philippines led to an insurgency by the Filipinos against the Americans. The post-war occupation. Why did the Philippines want us to get out of their country? Oh, wait, I know. Because it was their country. They said, go home. And we said, no, we're not going home. We kicked the Spanish ass in Cuba, and now for we took over the Philippines, Puerto Rico, and Guam. So now the Philippines don't want us in their country. What a strange thing to say. We said, too bad, we're staying. Mexico's again, 1914, 1919. A good war for America, folks. 21 wounded. That's a class act. They just don't want to tell us about the money for some reason. I couldn't get information on that. Okay. The new government, and I don't know who the hell the president was, the war at. No. That doesn't say right now. Anyway. When Mexico proved too independent for President Wilson, he began supporting forces under the command of Pancho Villa. Pancho Villa fought back against America. Wilson then ordered General John Pershing to lead an exhibition into Mexico to kill or capture Villa, but events in Europe soon trumpeted all matters of foreign policy. We took more land from Mexico. Now, my New York caller, I'm going to stop for 1 second and ask you a question. The Mexican War, we just attacked Mexico, 1914 to 1919, it was the first mechanized war. It was, It was the last war before World War One.
You're on these nuts?
It was the first time we had mechanized vehicles. I'm choking again, I don't know.
Okay,
I'm back again. Yeah, please, thank you. Okay. Call from New York, hang in there, brother. I'm getting up the question for you. The first mechanized war. Blackjack Pershing, he was, of course, the general of the United States Army. He went into into Mexico with Ford trucks, and he brought in, for the first time, a motorcycle. The United States Army had motorcycles. Can you tell me what type of motorcycle they had?
Harley Davidson's.
I'm going to ask you. Are you from New York?
Oh, okay.
No, I want to call.
Okay, hold on.
I want to. No, yeah, you already heard you now.
No, go ahead.
No, I didn't hear him. I did not hear him. No, but I do know he was the first one to put a Gatlin gun or a gun on one of their vehicles and use it as a almost like a tank at the time. It was
where
the tank came from.
But
I'm gonna say Indian.
Brought motorcycles into Mexico. Can you tell me what brand of motorcycles he brought into war?
Indian.
No.
It was a Harley then. It was a Harley.
Harley,
okay.
Davis.
I kind of. I wanted to say that, but I. Okay, never mind.
Mexico. He never caught Pancho Villa. You want to tell me what Pancho Villa had?
Yeah. Who?
Pancho Villa, what? The Mexican
right.
General.
He had horses.
What type of vehicle did he have when he's racing?
Oh, I have no idea. None.
Oh, an Indian. The American Army had Harley Davis.
he had the Indians, huh?
Pancho
Villa had Indians.
Couldn't catch him at all. Let me get up to World War One now. 1917-18. 116,516 cost $20 billion. He declared, well, this is interesting here because people are confused here. Everybody knows World War II. Nobody knows. Declared war on Germany and Austria-Hungary, their ally.
I'll let Larry, because he's got a lot of feedback
okay.
in the background. But we'll bring him back on.
Okay. We declared war on Germany and Austria-Hungary in 1917 after Germany resumed unrestricted submarine warfare and tried to lure Mexico into war against the United States. They asked them, do you want to fight with us against America? All they did was ask them, and we went to war over that. Mexico did not attack us at all,
mm-hmm.
but because Germany was trying to convince Mexico to go against America, we said we're going after those people too. Okay, now we got a little small break. World War II, 1941-1945. 405,399 people died. Cost, and boys and girls, please sit down for this one, $296 billion. Today, $296 billion comes to $4.3 trillion. That's some serious dollars. 1941, Congress declared war on Japan after attacking World War II. And then on Germany and Italy, because 2 weeks after the attack by Japan on Pearl Harbor, Hitler was stupid enough to declare war on America. So we decided, America, we're going to declare war on Bulgaria, Hungary, and Romania, because after Hitler, they also declared war on the United States. Boys, you messed that war up real bad. To this day, we would probably all be speaking German if Adolf Hitler had left Russia alone and concentrating on taking care of all of Europe, which he already won. He thought he could fight a war on two fronts, and he couldn't do it. Not that Russia was so tough, but America poured so much supplies into Russia. And Russia was tough. Excuse me, I should have said that. We put so much supplies into it, Hitler could not fight a two-front war. He could never take over England because England had the introduction of a thing called radar. So when Hitler's airplanes came over and they had more airplanes than the English did, they could concentrate the few planes they have wherever the planes were coming over from Germany. Radar saved England today, boys and girls. All righty, I'm going to slip on down here to the Berlin Airlift. 1948-1949. You never heard about this, the Berlin Airlift. Right after World War II, 31 people died. It wasn't a war. The war was over. But from 1948 to 1949, Allied pilots flew 277,000 missions and delivered 2.3 million tons of supplies to Berlin because Russia had blocked off Berlin. They wanted to starve them out. So it cost us $224 million for that year, $2.2 billion today. For the Berlin Airlift, which 31 Americans were killed. Let's slide on down here to the Korean War. 36,574 people died. It cost us $30 million. Why were we in Korea? Well, someday we'll all find out. Korea was a quagmire. North Korea wanted to be communist. South Korea wanted to be independent. America said, we're not going to have that bullshit. So we're over there now. And those 31 Americans that just wanted to go home, they've lost their lives. All right, how about Lebanon, 1982-1984? Small war for us, guys. 265 people died. Now, on a personal front, on October 23rd, a truck loaded with explosives rammed into the Marine Corps barracks in Beirut, killing 241 Americans. You know anything about that, Philip? Do you remember reading about that in history or anything?
There. It was there.
Philip was actually there, folks, during the Lebanon War, 1982-1984. And do you know anything about the truck loaded with explosives that rammed into the Marine Corps barracks? Do you know anything about that at all?
They killed 274 people.
Did you read that in the paper?
No.
Where'd you read that?
From the hospital bed.
Because you were at that barracks.
That's correct.
So I'm not just reading something. We have an eyewitness to what happened. He had his ass blown all over the place over there. So if he gets a little bit lost, you know why. He's a little bit, you know, touched upstairs. Granada.
Is that what they call it now?
Granada. 1983. You know, there's a great battle. 19 people died. You know what? Even to lose one life is too much. President Reagan deployed U.S. forces to Grenada to rescue U.S. citizens and restore order. We discovered 800 Cubano advisors there, so we attacked the country of Grenada because there were some Americans there. All right. 19 Americans lost their lives. We're sorry for that. Persian Gulf, 1987-1988. They won't tell us how much money was spent. They accused the Iranian fighters, attacked some tankers. Iran boarded a U.S. civilian ship. An Iraqi warplane attacked the USS Stark, killing 37 sailors. Now, that pissed me off when I came across that.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States began reflagging, escorting Kuwaiti ships. So we went and attacked the Persian Gulf. By the end of the operation, the U.S. air and surface units have sunk or severely damaged half of Iran's occupational fleet. You know what's wrong with that sentence?
They didn't get it all.
That's exactly right, brother. That's exactly right. All right, now, I jumped ahead and The Vietnam War. Did I mention the Vietnam War already? I'm sorry.
No.
Obviously, you know what, boys and girls? I went out of sequence over here.
But,
I did not mention
well,
the Vietnam
War. Well,
let
you know, there was a guy returned to Missouri today after 45 years.
Jesus. Vietnam War, 58,220 killed, $111 billion. Now, you want to know, you're asking me, well, why we're in Vietnam? Well, someday you'll be able to call and tell me. Congress authorized President Johnson to use all necessary measures against North Vietnam in 1964, just after which president was assassinated?
Kennedy.
That's exactly right. After the U.S. warships came under apparent attack in the Gulf of Tonkin, when Johnson asked military leaders what they needed to win, the answer was 7 years, 700,000 to 1 million troops, and an unfettered, what a stupid word, air campaign. Instead, Johnson and President Nixon launched the combined 16 bombing pauses and 72 peace initiatives, undercutting battlefield momentum. Did I tell you why we fought in Vietnam? Did I tell you? Did I miss that? Did you hear me? No. President Johnson, and by the way, JFK, President Kennedy, was killed in Dallas, Texas. Vice President Johnson, then President Johnson. JFK was so sick of the war, he was already sending troops home. We ended up with our troops going to Vietnam in airplanes, but in the beginning they were going over in ships. The first shiploads of evacuees was sent home by President Kennedy. He was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. Vice President Johnson took over. He stopped all evacuations of Vietnam. Maybe somebody can tell me why we're even here. Panama, 1989-1990, 23 Americans killed. Remember, even one American's too much. President George H.W. Bush. He sent U.S. troops to protect American citizens, to help the democratically elected government and apprehend General Manuel Noriega, who had been involved in drug trafficking, weapons smuggling, and a campaign of violence against his political opponents, but at one time the United States government was protecting this man. Now we don't like him, we go after him. Why? Now why were we over there? We sent people over to protect American citizens in case they were threatened. All right, you figure that one out, boys and girls. Gulf War, 1990-91. 382 dead. And again, I'm sorry, even one dead's too much. Cost of that war, $61 billion. We decided to defend Saudi Arabia from attack and to eject Saddam Hussein's family from Kuwait. Congress passed an authorization for use of military force. Now, this is a strange war because it was largely underwritten by international partners. A lot of the Arab countries threw a lot of money in there, so America didn't kick a lot of money, although I don't know what the hell we were doing there.
Oil.
Iraqi. Go ahead, sir.
Oil.
Oh, I know that. I'm sorry. That was sarcasm on my part. Iraqi Kurdistan. As far as wars go, I can't complain. Five dead, but even one's too many. The five American deaths came in the initial phase of operation to provide comfort caused by landmines, weapon misfires, and transportation accidents. The total serving number is limited to the initial months. We reported $320.5 million. And all we did was develop no-fly zones over northern and south Iraq. I don't know. Okay, Somalia, 1992-1994, 43 people dead. We all know what happened over there. That was disgusting. What they did to the Americans, we should have just, that Black Hawk Down, you remember that movie, everybody? We should have made that whole country a parking lot. All right, so the United Nations expanded the limited humanitarian mission. Somalian clans ambushed United Nations peacekeepers. So some of the peacekeepers were killed, so we sent hundreds of United States Army Rangers and Delta Force operators into Mogadishu, and I probably said it wrong, and that led to the bloody Black Hawk Down episode and triggered the beginning of the end of America's mercy in Somalia. We're giving these people food, clothing, supplies, and they're killing us. I hear that too many times in America. Let me switch on. I'm running it down, folks. Haiti. That was a good war for us. 1994, 1996. Four people were killed. Cost $2 billion. Well, okay. President Clinton sent troops to Haiti to restore the democratic elected president and stabilize the country. I don't care about Haiti. This is nothing new. United States forces intervened 16 times. We invaded Haiti between 1900 and 1913 before a lengthy occupation, 1915 to 1934. President George W. Bush sent troops to Haiti in 2004, as did President Barack Obama in 2010. How many times do we invade Haiti, and what does it ever say we invaded Haiti for? What's Haitians ever done to you, Phil?
Nothing.
Okay. Bosnia. 1995-2004. It won't tell me how many people were killed. $14.83 billion spent. Why were we in Bosnia? Well, President Clinton ordered the deployment of 25,000 troops as part of NATO's follow-up on peacekeeping. By the latter half of 2003, we were done. United States troops withdrew in December 24. Why? Nothing to do with me.
No.
Global war on terrorism. Occupation, enduring freedom. 2001 to present. United States military and DOD, Department of Civilian Deaths. 2,355 as of March 15th. I couldn't get anything for April alone. 2.5 million dollars. Now, why were we overseas? Well, it says we were over there to destroy terrorist groups and our allies in the field. Okay, folks. Now, Kosovo. 1999 till today, because it's still going on. Won't tell me how many people were killed. They will not give the information to me. And the information I give to you is not information I'm smuggling out. The government has given this to me freely. $9.56 million. So, two U.S. pilots were killed when their helicopter crashed in Albania. Three U.S. troops died in accidental deaths and 24 were injured. So we went over there to stabilize that country. If you can't get along in America, we should turn your country into a parking lot. So we're talking about Afghanistan. 2001 to present. 2,215 people dead. Cost $825.7 billion. How high is that? I don't know. I couldn't even begin to guess it. Why were we over there? Hang on, folks. I'm getting to it. Bunch of anti-Taliban militia toppled the Taliban regime. So America sent troops over there. And they hit a high of 100,000 troops in 2010. And the CBO says that America would need another $1 trillion. I said a trillion with a T. From the cost of war to 2015, they think we can solve this by 2024 for just another $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Iraq, Operation Iraqi Freedom. 4,491 dead. Cost $820 billion. Congress authorized military action against Iraq in October 2002. Citing Iraq's ongoing support of international terrorist groups and development of weapons and mass destruction. Remember all that weapons of mass destruction they couldn't find?
Yep.
Saddam Hussein's army and regime were quickly routed, but the post-war proved costly, and the costs continue to amount. Get rid of Saddam was only one thing. Okay, I'm running this down here, the last one. Operation Inherent Resolve. And I'm going to tell you the cost of this war. This earlier stated casualty numbers and economic figures from the war do not unfold the U.S. military campaign, so they're not telling me. Military commanders expect the operation to last more than three more years. That was in 2014. Iraq promised to dominate the balance of Iraq, Obama's presidency. This August will mark 25 years the United States has been fighting and has attacked Iraq. Now, what it's costing America to fight the Iraqi war, and please, I'm asking everybody now, sit down, grab a hold of your armchair. $8.4 million
a day.
And you want to know about why we're paying taxes, why the gas is going high? These Arabs that got the oil, they should be giving us oil for free. Every one of these wars I've talked to you about, I didn't understand any of them. I understand Japanese attacking Pearl Harbor. 2 weeks later, Hitler declaring war. A week after that, Italy and all the other countries. I understand that war. I got confused on every war after that. Philip and I are vets. I support our military 100%. Philip and I played the cards we're dealt with. Is there anybody who would like to comment about the war situation? They think I'm too harsh about the war?
You're definitely not too harsh about the war. There's no doubt about it. $8 million a day?
In New York State.
That's me. That's ludicrous. $8 million a day for 10 years.
We can be
over 10 years. What am I saying? How much? 10 years since Joey's been gone. Since when did we go in here? 2002?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Philip and I live right next to Camp Pendleton. We are all pro-military. I'm proud to say both Philip and I were in the military. I love this country. I don't understand the government. I don't understand the rationale.
That is the problem. You said it right there. The government. These politicians, if they want to get us into a war, we need our military, who are trained from four-star generals on down, know what they're doing, let them go in and do what they got to do. It happened in Vietnam. The politicians, you can't shoot here. You can't do this. You can't do that. Bullshit. You want to start a war with us? You want to do something? You want protection? First off, you want protection, we're taking your oil. Second of all, go ahead, I'm sorry.
A restaurant expects to get paid for the dinner. The server expects to get a tip if he does a good job. Based upon that premise, if we go to Saudi or Kuwait and we help these people defend the communists or kill the Saddam Hussein, whatever we got to do, before we leave that country, we should take every Mercedes-Benz, every Rolls-Royce, go take all of them. We need to get paid for our work. I'm not asking that we give them more than we did, but if we spent $1 million, open up the coffers, give us some gold, cars, trucks, anything, just let me know as an American I'm not getting screwed again. If we go to war, we should take over something. And I don't want to be a bully on the block, but I'm saying if you want our help, and we're spending American lives, which are precious, priceless, I meant to say, pay us. Is that unreasonable?
No, it's not. And anybody who says it is unreasonable ought to have their head examined. You go in, you do a job, you expect to be paid for it. You get what you got to get. Okay, number one, the whole Kuwait thing, it shouldn't have been a bill number one at all. We shouldn't have spent a dime. You want our help? You're paying us.
That's right.
We will take care of Saddam for you. We will get him out of your country, because apparently you can't do it. So if we got to be the cops of the world, let's be the cops of the world. They're all getting paid. We need to be paid for this stuff. Period.
I'm glad you agree with me. Not because you agree with me, because very few people agree with me. They say, oh, Bill, we have a right to help the world. Bullshit.
We also have a right to be paid.
Yeah.
We have a right to be paid.
I don't want to make a problem for you. I'm saying just pay you for my expenses being there. That's all I'm asking.
Exactly. Exactly. And take some of this off of our middle class, which is going to down the tubes in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Because we're footing that bill.
Yes.
We got people in this country that need help too. And that our money should be going to help those people, not somebody from wherever.
Somebody outside of America.
Hey, Rich, I'm gonna have to call you guys back, right? We're trying to get some gas here, and then I'll call you right back as soon as we get back on the road, okay?
Okay, man.
I'll call you right back. Thanks.
That was Larry Tremblay. He has the Marine bike, that chopper.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know who I was talking to. Good.
And he lost his son.
Yeah.
Joey. His 10-year anniversary was the other day.
Philip and I want to stress this here because some people listening are not real happy what I said. I'm an American citizen. I have a right to say how I feel, but in this case here, folks, I'm just asking questions.
Well, you know, Bill.
I don't know why.
Generally, I keep my silence with political things because all
let me step on my dick all the time.
All it does is bring out the worst in people, and I don't want to get into a political debate with people who I consider my friends. However, that said, this is a prime example of ignorance possessed by so many in this country. Is it so much more than a race thing? At this point, white people are becoming a minority in this country. Moreover, it seems like the only time the police brutality makes the headlines is when it's a white cop on the accused end. I'm not saying it's okay for any reason for a person in a position of authority to abuse their power, because, you know, we do anyway.
We deal with that all the time.
Because it isn't. This woman is a prime example of why so many people think harshly of people with different color skin than their own. Am I saying it's okay to stereotype an entire race? Absolutely not. There are plenty of whites, Hispanics, who are equally as ignorant. The point is, protest nonviolently. All police brutality is just race-specific. You know, because there was a guy yesterday, a white guy, mobbed by a group of black guys.
Which day was this? I didn't get the, you know. Back east?
Baltimore.
Oh, the Baltimore issue. Okay, I don't know. Okay.
Baltimore.
And please do not think for one second that Philip and I are one race people, because in the motorcycle world, Philip and I have as many friends down in Mexico as we do in Normandy Avenue in Compton. And there ain't too many of them white boys up in that area. We have friends everywhere, and there are people that like me everywhere and people don't like me everywhere. Race and color has nothing to do with it. And people, you're going to find it's hard to believe, some people don't like Philip. Can you? It's amazing that would come. Like I tell you?
Really don't care.
Some people think he's a nice guy. You pick and choose your friends. I feel that anybody that's so naive that says, I only pick my friends among one certain race or color, you're denying yourself a lot of good friends.
Well, you know,
and
Bill,
you're sticking yourself with other people, which is stupid.
You know, Bill, life is hard. It's even harder when you're stupid.
And by the way, do you know what nationality his wife was?
Mm-hmm.
She was a Mexican girl, beautiful girl. And that quote was from the Duke. Mm-hmm. I hope everybody knows who the Duke is. Do you know who the Duke is, Phil?
Yeah, John Wayne.
John Wayne, well, that is a question. All right. I mean, you act like you know everything all the time. All right.
Well, you know, Bill, they're not words big enough. There's not a hug strong enough. There's not a smile wide enough. All I can offer you is a thank you. You are my hero. You are my thoughts.
Thank you, Phil.
You are
thank
my
you,
prayers.
Phil. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you all for all you've done.
Thank you, Phil.
That was
you're too kind, Philip.
That was for Memorial
thank
Day,
you.
Bill.
Thank you, Philip.
That was Memorial Day.
Got to keep that, you know, this is a show. Can't mm-hmm. hold your feelings back towards me.
No worries.
Okay, you know?
No worries.
By the way, just to clarify a point,
well, you know, the university in the District of Columbia, Bill, they're allowing their students to defer from taking their law exam to participate in the Baltimore protests.
Well,
I got something I want you to listen to, Bill.
Go ahead. Don't make it sad. I get depressed easy. All right.
if we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Port Chalk Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words. America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize
play a song right now until we get back on.
You were born on judgment day.
I got something you didn't know.
Well, there's a lot I don't know, Phil.
That each year, the Department of Defense directs the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Foundation to add new names to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Statuses are also changed when the service members' remains are recovered. They're all honored on a ceremony on what day?
May 16th?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. Okay, May 10th. I think May 10th, Mother's Day?
That's correct.
It's a good time for me to just bug the heck out of my mother, Phyllis Kennedy, in Carlsbad. I'm not supposed to give up the street name or her phone number, but Mama will be coming over. I was over there yesterday visiting, and I'll be there on Mother's Day. My mother's always concerned when I accidentally say her name because she's afraid I'll say the address and the phone number. People call her. Nah, Mom, I'm not going to care the phone number. It's 760. Oh, no, I can't say that. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, with a hammer.
Yeah, I'm not sure my mother pointed out to me.
You guys
did
that?
No.
You know, folks, the army of the dead is all around us. And those soldiers that came back wounded, they wear the wounds like stars. Why would normal men and women, when confronted by abnormal situations, why would they rise above? It's because they love their country, they love their family, and I believe this in the Philippine military. In times of war or battle, you're afraid. Everybody's afraid. But you want to be there to protect the guy next to you. Is that right?
That's correct. No man left behind.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with being afraid. You do your duty, keep an eye on the guy next to you, and he'll do his duty, his or her duty. So, where does a country like America get these super people? They come from all walks of life. Don't forget that. Everybody will step up to the plate if given an opportunity. We don't give our young men and women enough credit. Phil and I are always teasing a little bit about these kids that don't look old enough to even shave.
Nope.
But when the time comes, I believe they will step up to the plate. But we will have more and more difficulties if we can't stand by our veterans when they get home and take care of their needs. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask you this. When you were in the military, were you offered certain benefits and stuff? Did you receive those benefits or anything when you get out?
Yeah, I used them.
All of them?
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them.
No,
they've been cutting your benefits back. No, they're still cutting your benefits back. When you went in, you offered so much benefits too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll speak for myself. 1969, I went in, I was offered a lot, and my benefits have been cut back.
Mm-hmm. That's why they can't find your record.
They can't even find my record. They know I was in the military, but they don't know where I was. They thought I was in the Air Force. No, I said I was in the Army. They thought I was over in the European theater, and I said, no, I was in Tehran, Iran. They don't know what to make out of me. So they suggested, I'm going to say so, they suggested that maybe I keep my private insurance because they really don't know how to, though I have a veteran's card, if you've seen it. I've got my DD-214, you've seen that, and my records have been burnt. That's okay. Lucky I am working hard enough. I have got private insurance and all that stuff with that. But not all veterans like you and I have been lucky enough to get a good job, have a family, have a home. There are veterans out in the street there, and for the most part, we walk on by them.
They don't need to be out in the street, though.
And why do you think they're on the street?
Does our country turn their back on?
When I was overseas in Sweden, I saw a warehouse. There's people inside it. And I said, what the hell's going on here, to my friend from Stockholm? And he said, Bill, they're living in this commercial building. I said, who are they? He said, they're people that need to live there. If you have a commercial building and you cannot rent it out within 6 months, you have an obligation to open the doors and let people need a place to sleep. They don't do graffiti. They don't smash the windows. They appreciate the fact that their government is offering them a chance to get out of the cold weather. Now, I know Norway and Sweden have got a lot of cold weather, but So do we back east in Boston. So why am I in a country where it is a socialist country, or a semi-socialist, and they're giving these people hospitalization, dental care. They're saying there's a building, no one's using it. You can use this building to get through the wintertime. Again, I wouldn't trade this country for any country in the world, but why aren't we doing things like that? When you were in the military, may I ask you how long you were in basic training for? Do you remember?
12 weeks.
12 weeks? Okay.
15 weeks.
Okay.
22 weeks.
Okay. I got the gist here. Bear with me now. So you went in the military as a civilian, and you went through basic training, right?
Correct.
They molded you into being a Marine.
Correct.
And then when it came time for you to get out, how much time did they spend on you getting you to become a civilian? Now, you went in after I went in, but I want to.
I was actually on a hold, Bill. My term of service got extended for 6 months.
You voluntarily got extended, or you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you voluntarily did. Okay. Okay. At the end of 6 months, when it came time for your extension,
30 days.
They gave you 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Did they educate you? Did they tell you about what to do for a living? Did they tell you about colleges? What did they do during the 30 days? Because you just told me you spent 12 weeks learning how to become a Marine. I want to know, what did they do with you to prepare you for civilian life?
They basically, if I remember correctly.
I already listening.
They told me if I drove from here to drove home, they were going to give me $3,200. And gave me all the pamphlets and told me where to sign up for school.
1971, I got out, and they said goodbye. They asked me, do I want to re-up? I said, no. They said, well, here's a film. Watch the film. When you're done, shut the lights out. And then I left the military pretty much. They did tell me that 24 hours after I get out, I am legally responsible to the military. So if I get drunk or crazy, I can get picked up and be thrown back in the military. I didn't know if that was true or not, but when I got out of the military, I went right down to a hotel, checked in, and just slept until my time was up. I did not want to go back in to the military. No problem in the military, it was just time for me to do something else. But they gave me no preparation. I watched a movie, and they said, when you're done, just shut the lights off. They didn't even care if I watched the whole movie or not. So I don't know what's in the movie. Now, I'm sure today's military, they are preparing these young men and women much better than prepared guys like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. You know, we've lost
that. Did you know that somebody's going to challenge Hillary on the Democratic ticket?
You're wasting your time, whoever you are. I am not going to vote for Hillary. I'm not interested in Hillary. Hillary, that's a good word. However, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if Bill Clinton would run today, I'd vote for Bill because he's all right with me. But his wife, no. There is nobody in the Democratic Party strong enough to run against her. And on my side and Philip's side, we are Republicans. There's nobody strong enough to run against her again. She's almost got a free shot at this.
Mm-hmm.
We're having some real problems with these connections tonight, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
This whole board's been wiped out. All these callers will appear here, blah, blah, blah. They've called in to get on, and we can't get them all. Sorry about that. So pretty much, we're having a hard night tonight, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I hope.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, though.
We're getting cut right off. I got these people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people here all want to get in here, and we're losing them left and right. I appreciate our friend from New York calling in, but we lost him altogether, too. And he wanted to come back and talk about...
He's probably still getting gas, though.
Well, they drive a diesel truck. He can't be that long. He's probably just having connections getting up here again.
Maybe.
I don't see... All of our regular friends... We've lost everybody tonight.
We didn't even get the people that we're going to call in.
Yep. We have regular callers.
Let's see what
in.
Happens right now. There we go.
Can't get him, can't get him, can't get him, can't get him, and can't get him. So, well, I don't know. What do you think? You want to cut the show a little short tonight? You want to press on?
No, we can pick it up Tuesday.
Yeah, because this is kicking our butt here. And I really, in behalf of Philip and myself, apologize, sir.
Because you know why, Bill, don't you?
Well, I knew from the moment I hooked up with you as a friend, I knew I'd be having problems with the local gendarmes.
No.
Nobody likes you, Philip.
No, you know why?
No, why?
Have you ever had one of those days when nothing goes right? Your wife starts bitching about whatever it was she was bitching about last night. So you escape into the bathroom just to sit there on your throne. But after you finish your business, toilet paper's gone.
Out there. Good night, everybody.